Chapter 39. Morning comes to Kashyyyk. Jazz sits at the top of the world, her legs dangling off a platform, her feet swinging like a child's as she scoops some kind of goop out of a bowl with her bare hands and into her mouth. A Wookiee breakfast, Solo said. Made of kibbotha guts. She asked him just what a kibbotha was, and his response,
"Don't ask, just eat."
So she eats. Jazz is used to eating whatever she can get her hands on. The job being the job, it means she can't always get her mouth around a proper meal. Protein cubes, polystarch, veg meat, whatever she can eat, she eats. Once she ate barnacles off the side of a hachi farmer's spelt silo. Behind her, Wookiees move and work and settle in. They waste no time, those big rugs. They climb the rocher like it's no feat at all. They dig their claws into the wood and move like lightning, traveling up and down the bark. They jump from branches, they duck in and out of knotholes. They swing from one tree to the next. It's quite a thing to behold. Once in a while, she looks down to remind herself how far up she's come. The ground isn't even visible from here. It's hidden beneath the mist. Mist that, right now, blazes with the fire of the morning sun. She hears Solo. He's talking to Leia, to Chewie, and she considers getting up and joining them. Then, someone plunks down next to her. Sinjir. He scoots to the edge, then pulls back.
Mother of moons! Why are you sitting here? Why are you eating that?
Why do you still have that mustache?
I quite like it.
It looks like an animal laid down to die on your lip.
You're really too blunt for your own good, you know.
She winks, then keeps eating. The ex-imperial settles in next to her, though not so close that his legs drape over the edge.
You staying? He asks her.
Here? No.
The Wookiees have been liberated from their inhibitor chips, and the three Star Destroyers bombing the planet have been put out of commission, one destroyed utterly. But the Imperials here will still have some fight in them. Dozens of settlements dot the surface, and smaller outposts mark the margins. Even now, Chewbacca is prepping teams of Wookiees to survey the damage and the Imperial holdouts.
Solo and Leia are staying for a time, Sinjir says.
They're invested. I'm not. We did the job. Now the job is over.
We did good, you know.
I know.
It feels good to have done good.
I know that too.
He leans in, eyes narrowed to suspicious lines.
So why do I get the sense that you're holding back on me?
I'm not holding anything back.
But his scrutiny picks her apart, like a child plucking the legs off a beetle.
Fine. I'm holding something back.
Spit it out.
But I'm eating it,
she says around a mouthful of goop.
Not the food, the secret thing.
Oh.
She swallows. It's like pushing a clod of wet concrete down her throat. Jazz smacks her lips a few times before saying,
I'm leaving.
Leaving what?
The team. The crew, whatever you call us.
You're breaking up the band?
He tisks.
I am breaking up the band.
He sighs.
I was thinking about doing the same, honestly.
Why?
Oh, you first, Amari.
I have to get back to work.
The job calls?
My debts call.
Not even my debts, she thinks. Sugi's. And the deal with Rinskar haunts her suddenly.
They'll want my head if I don't pay. I've been away from that too long. I'll see if the NR has jobs. If not, someone will. It's a zoo out there, and someone needs to catch the animals.
If you'll still work for the NR, why not just stay with Nora?
Jazz shrugs.
She has her husband, her son. I feel like if she keeps doing what she's doing, then it'll be more of this.
She sweeps her arms to encompass not just the planet of Kashyyyk, but also what they did here. Liberation with no cost to anyone but themselves.
And less of the get-paid-for-work business. If the NR won't have me, the scum and villainy of the world is still thick with rivalries. I'll get paid one way or the other.
I'll miss you.
Don't be mawkish. It doesn't suit you. Your turn. Why leave?
I feel good about what we did.
That's an odd answer.
Well, I want to keep the feeling. I don't want to complicate it. If I stay with this fancy new government, eventually they're going to want me to do things I'm trying not to do. I'm quite frankly tired of following orders.
Fear.
She arches an eyebrow.
What then? Travel the space lanes? Having adventures? Settle down with your boy toy and a couple of poro birds as pets?
Both. Neither.
Another sigh.
I really don't know.
You are Takask Walask Tidan, a man without a star.
Oh, please. Some old saying?
Go on, tell me what it means.
My aunt used to say it. She ran a crew of her own. And whenever she had to replace someone, or use someone for one purpose or another, she always said she looked for Takask Walask Tidan. A man without a star. Someone without a home. Without purpose.
That's depressing.
But is it true?
He harumphs, then idly twists his mustache. She bats his hand away from it, and he frowns.
You could come with me,
she says.
Turns out I could use a man without a star.
I would make an excellent bounty hunter.
Don't get cocky.
That's like telling the rain not to fall.
He puts his hands behind his head and lies back.
I would join you, but I don't think your calling is my calling either. Maybe my calling is drunken but lovable rake. And possibly handsome Chandrilan layabout. Charming house husband, worthless but for his chiseled cheekbones and his whiplash wit.
Try it on. See if it fits.
I may.
He sits back up.
Is this goodbye, then? Are you leaving right from here? Or can I expect a ride?
I'll head back to Chandrila. I'm sure everyone will be all...
She makes a face.
Warm and fuzzy in the aftermath of Liberation Day. So if you want one last ride in the Halo, I'm offering. We can tell Nora together.
Thank you, magnanimous bounty hunter. What about your boy toy?
Sinjir gestures unsubtly with his head toward the commando, John Burrell, working one platform away, helping pack up thermal detonators in a harness sling.
I think he came back to Iridiru for you and you alone. Broke rank and everything.
We have to be done. We had fun. That has to be it. I need this bomb to make a clean break. It'll heal faster that way. For him or for you?
She asks herself. She sneers.
I don't want some stray trailing after me. I don't owe him. He made his choices, and now I'm making mine.
I really will miss you.
Fine. I will miss you too.
He leans his head on her shoulder. He knows why she's come over, so he just gets it out of the way. Jom doesn't even finish bolting shut the detonator box, and he says over his shoulder,
I know you've come to let me down gently.
I don't do anything gently,
Jazz says. He can't tell if her tone is playful or not. He turns and grabs a leaf fiber rag, wiping his hands on it before tucking its corner in his pocket.
I want to tell you first that you were right.
I know.
Do you even know about what?
She shrugs.
I'm right about everything.
Keep telling yourself that, Amari.
He laughs.
No. You were right that I came to Irudiru chasing you. Then I came here and we fought. And they took me and they took my eye.
I don't owe you that. Don't put that on me.
He shakes his head.
I'm not. That's the point. I stayed because it's the right thing. I gave up my eye because it's the right thing.
Jom leans in now. She sees that he's aged over this trip. Dark shadows cross his face. He looks weathered, like wind-whipped leather. But he grins just the same.
And you stayed because it's the right thing, too. You're a better person than you think, Jazz Amari.
Don't make me kill you, Jom.
All this is me saying, I get it. We're done. It's good. I'm staying behind with the Wookiees. See if I can't help them.
Good luck, Jom.
You too. I'll see you later, Bounty Hunter.
Leia knows she should worry. After all, here she is on a world not her own. A world still with one leg in an Imperial trap, and she's pregnant. Her back hurts, she's hungry all the time. What if something goes wrong? She knows she should be worried, and yet she isn't. In fact, the only thing that worries her is just how little worry she has. She feels good, happy even. She has Yvonne standing by. She has Han. She has her baby boy growing inside her. The Wookiees have their world back, almost at least. And she's here because she listened to Luke. He told her to let go, to let the Force flow through her. She did. She's here. All is well. Chewie comes up behind Han again, growling playfully as he gives her husband a big, lung-crushing hug. Solo winces and pulls away, laughing.
You big lug. I know, we did it.
She's never seen Chewie so happy. He has family here. Family they intend to help him find. And then she wonders, will he stay? Now that the Wookiee has his home, will he remain behind on Kashyyyk? Han seems to think so. He told her last night as they slept under the stars.
He has his family, and we'll have ours.
The Wookiee gurgles and lopes off toward Karatha, where they're loading crates into a handful of stolen LAIT ships. Then they'll take them from city to city, settlement to settlement, assessing the Imperial presence as they go. Leia told Han that she could maybe call in the New Republic, and he said, proud as a cockbird,
we don't need them.
Maybe, she thinks. He's right. But then Wedge hobbles over, followed by Yvonne. Yvonne tells her,
Princess, you have to see this.
Wedge takes her to a transceiver and patches in a holonet feed. It's then she watches the Liberation Day events unfold in Hana City. The liberated rebels turning on their rescuers. The Chancellor shot. Others, too. Medine, Agate, Hostis Idge. Some still alive, others dead. The data coming in tells a confusing story with conflicting reports. Chaos has seized the capital, that much is clear. Leia's heart breaks as she watches. Further, she can't help but feel that if she had stayed, she might have been one of those dead. Or maybe she could have helped stop it. A choice too late to make, with consequences that will forever remain unseen. Just the same, the Empire did this. That much she knows. A hand falls on her shoulder. Her husband's. He stands behind her, shell-shocked.
We rescued those people. I don't understand.
He visibly swallows. It's rare to see him rattled. This has done it.
I have to go back.
It takes him a moment to find his focus, but soon he's looking at her with clear eyes. He nods and says,
I know.
I don't want to. I want to stay here, with you, with Chewie.
I know that too. But I have to go too. I have to come home.
You could stay here. I'd understand. Help Chewie.
Chewie's got this. He and the others have hard work ahead of them. Our part is over, Leia. I want to be by your side through this. Whatever this is. And whoever did this, they'll pay.
I'm going to go prep the Falcon, she says.
I won't be far behind. I have to say goodbye first.
She cups his cheek, then kisses him. Sadness shines in her eyes. Not sadness for her, but sadness for him. Because this will be hard for him. She knows that.
He won't admit it.
But saying goodbye might kill him.
Leia lets her hand linger on his face. And then she's gone, heading toward their ships with Wedge in tow. Chewie is there with Karatha, picking up crates that it would take three of Han to lift. The Wookiee is as strong as these trees. Sometimes it feels like he's damn near as tall, too. It doesn't take long for his co-pilot to see him there. Chewie and he have always been in sync. Okay, sure, sometimes Chewie goes one way and Han goes another, but they always meet on the other side of things. And at the end of every day, what needs to get done damn well gets done. They're partners. Have been for most of the life that Han can, or cares to, remember. Chewie grunts and growls.
You're doing fine, you big lunk.
Another growl. This one a question.
Wow. This is harder than he thought.
Han scuffs a heel and throws up his hands like he's folding at the sabacc table.
I thought this day would come later, Chewie. But something's happened, and...
The Wookiee steps up and nods, mumbling a soft response. Chewie understands. Even before Han says it, Chewie gets it. In sync yet again, to no one's surprise. Chewie knows that Han has to go. And what's the first thing that the gargantuan hairbeast does? The Wookiee offers to come along right now. Han waves both hands and shakes his head as vigorously as he can, even waggling his finger up in his friend's shaggy face.
No, no! You have to stay here. We fought like hell for this, and now this is yours. Okay? All yours. This is home. You got people here, and I want you to find them. You hear me? That's my last demand. No arguments.
Chewie rumbles, but Han reiterates more firmly this time.
I said no arguments. You be with your family. I have to go start mine.
A moment of silence stretches out between them, and deep in the space between Han's heart and his gut, he wants to seize on the desire that lives there. He wants to tell Chewie,
Just kidding. Let's go, pal. Get on board the ship and let's see what trouble we can cook up.
Then they'll race off together to Malastare or Warren Station, or back to that dusty Mos Eisley cantina to pick up some other wayward dust farmer kid. And then when he gets home, and his baby, his son, is born, Chewie will be right there, doing whatever needs doing. Because that's who Chewie is. But he doesn't say any of that. Chewie hugs him and purrs.
I'll be back. We're not done, you and I. We'll see each other again. I'm gonna be a father. And no way my kid won't have you in his life.
One more bark and yip as Chewie pets his head.
Yeah, pal, I know. He sighs. I love you, too.